what I will discuss here is the idea that public procurement is not just about public procurement, about buying stuff for your organization, but it is about much more. Actually, it is about being a societal actor with a certain role in the local food system. Very short presentation, very simple outline. What we did in the project is trying to find some way to measure the quality of public procurement, of sustainable public procurement, because we had all these participants that came in, and some of them were a bit more advanced, others were not so advanced. And we wanted to take sort of a snapshot at the beginning, and the idea was then to take a snapshot halfway and then at the end, and then we could say to the Research Council, look, the quality of sustainable public procurement for our participants has increased from that score to that score. So we went looking for quality models or models that measured the quality of public procurement. And in the public procurement literature, they are called maturity models. Different stages of development of maturity of public procurement. And the most well-known model is the model of Haaland. And what I will do is sort of give a bit of criticism on that model and on maturity models generally, and then I will present our own model of sustainable public procurement quality. So that is the idea with these maturity models. They sort of conceptualize quality of public procurement. The idea is that you can also link these models to levels of ambition. Say, okay, we can have a very low level of ambition, and then you are not so developed. And if you go for the highest level of development, the most mature level of development, then that is the highest level of ambition. And of course, if you have such a measurement, you can compare yourself with a certain set of requirements. You can set minimum standards, for example. You can compare yourself over time, and you can benchmark within the sector. Now, in the paper that sort of underlies this presentation, we have come up with 18 maturity models. We more or less stopped when we had 18, but there are a couple more out there probably. What we found is that especially the more older models were geared to the private sector. So a lot of things that have been written on maturity of public procurement functions sort of originates from the public sector, where they looked at the quality of procurement by private organizations. And the more recent models, and actually a lot of the models that we looked at, are models of public procurement. What you will also find is that a lot of these models are a bit specific to the region at hand. For example, you have US models and European models, and they are very often different because public procurement is different in the two contexts. I mean, in Europe, and that's also relevant for Norway through the EEA, we have a very specific regulatory framework for procurement, and that framework is different in the United States. So you have different models. If you look at how these models have been developed, then in some cases they have been developed by sort of trying to find indicators for quality by means of very large N research, gathering data from a large group of organizations, and then trying to find some set of indicators for quality. In a lot of cases, it is actually based on small N case research, consultancy work, where people say, "Ah, we have had a great experience with that organizations. They were very advanced, and we saw that that and that and that was important as being part of the procurement function." This is something that is very much linked to consultancy work and benchmarking operations that consultancies sort of offer to organizations. Where do I stand when it comes to my public procurement function? Some of these tools that are used are publicly available, but a lot of them are not publicly available. So you have these questionnaires that you cannot sort of access, but you know that they are there. Now, the important thing when it comes to sustainability is that in these models, sustainability is very often disregarded. It's not part of the quality measurement. So there are not really models for sustainable public procurement. There are a couple of exceptions, and I've listed them. Oh, I've listed them here. Kaino, Rambaldiffy, Hänninen, and these are actually all Nordic exceptions. Kaino is the Finnish DFÖ, you could say, the Finnish expertise center on procurement. Rambaldiffy is the old name for DFÖ. They did a research in 2018 using a maturity model, and then there is another Finnish model. And these models include sustainability, but also these models do that in a rather superficial way, where they, for example, measure sustainability as one of the dimensions of quality. Does the organization in question include sustainability issues or not? And then you give them a certain score. So if it is addressed, then it has an extra point, and that is it. Now, if we move to, let's say, more general models, because that is what we then have to sort of fall back to, then this model by Haaland is the most referred to model. And the model sort of comes up with seven different states or stages of public procurement development. From a very simple buyer of goods and services, you need stuff in your organization. Chairs, computers, food, catering, also. And then it is up to the purchasers, the procurers to buy that. And that's it. And then you can move up the ladder. You can also look upon this as a ladder. And you can say, okay, if there are other things that are also made important, not just delivering on the goods and services, but also, for example, compliance with regulation, efficient use of public funds, accountability, value for money, then you are more advanced in your public procurement function. And then when you are here, six and seven, you would go into the stage where you do not only look at what you buy and whether you have value for money, and whether you are truly accountable and it's all efficient and that kind of thing, and it complies with legislation, but where public procurement also starts to support policy objectives, other than making sure that you buy the stuff that you need. And then, according to the Haaland model, the most advanced state is where you do not only support broader policy objectives, but you actually deliver on these public policy objectives. And that is what you could say is a state where you make strategic use of public procurement. Now, this is a general model in the sense that it doesn't mention sustainability, but you can use it also for the analysis of quality development of sustainable public procurement. And that is what we do in the paper. Call that our own model, a model that makes a clearer distinction than the Haaland model between what you do for the organization as such and what you do for society, what you do in terms of these broader policy objectives. It is based on the definition of sustainable public procurement that we use in the project, the idea that procurement, purchasing is about something that creates value for organizations themselves, because you provide things that are needed in the organization, but you also provide environmental, social, economic value in society, so outside of the organization. So that is the basic idea, that you have this split between where you create the value, internally or externally. And then the model looks like this. And okay, this is the best I could come up with, because I'm not so good at drawing these graphs and things. So actually, it's more a table with a couple of arrows. It's not so advanced. The idea is that we have two different parts of public procurement. Public procurement for the public organization as organization. So that's about creating this internal value. And we have this table that is about the public organization as a societal actor, about creating external value. And the idea is that you're more mature when you move from only this to also doing this. And that within each segment or part, function, you could say, of the public procurement, you become more mature, you have a higher quality if you move from this part to that part. And what you will see is that some of the phases are similar to the Haaland model. You start as a deliverer of goods and services, and then very often the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, it has to be in line with regulation. That is what I also mentioned this morning. Very important that we do not get out of the regulatory framework. Another thing that is important then is no waste. This is something that's also very relevant also in the public debate. You should buy without waste. And then you move forward to what you could call value for money, where you look at the price and the quality of what you buy. Now, this is something that most organizations can quite easily reach. This stage of a deliverer of goods and services that takes into account price and quality. But as we also saw this morning, I think Andreas mentioned that very often there it stops. People do not move beyond price, quality of goods and services. They do not think about other things that are also relevant within the organization. So what we have included in the model is what we call value for money plus. There could be all kinds of other internal objectives within the organization that are also relevant. But the examples that were given this morning about matkleden, so that people enjoy what they eat. It's not just about economy efficiency or cost quality. Actually, you are talking about a different objective here, that it is very important that people enjoy what they eat, that it is, for example, important in schools that young children get acquainted with what food is and how it grows. But still, this is mainly internal, because it is about part of the organizations that are within the organization, hospitals, schools, etc., etc. And then if we move to the second part of the model, there you really get into a situation where you can be a supporter of broader policy objectives. If you start including the sustainability issues, and if you move forward and you become a deliverer of broader policy objectives, then you could say that you have made a switch from putting public procurement first, but also supporting other policy objectives in terms of sustainability, so social, economic, environmental. And here, public procurement is one of the instruments in the broader context of dealing with sustainability. What we do in the paper is also link that to all kinds of costs and benefits that procurers take into account. Because here it is mainly about Do I comply with regulation? Do I not waste money? And here it is about the cost quality, the price quality thing. And here, if you move to the, let's say, the opposite situation of being a deliverer of these policy objectives, we are really talking about cost and benefits of your public procurement as part of the wider policy framework. And to give you an idea of what we are thinking about, what Andreas this morning mentioned about low quality of hospital food that has an impact on the health of people in the long run. The example he gave of his mother that lost a lot of weight. This is typically something that doesn't pop up if you look at public procurement in this way, but it pops up if you think about public procurement in terms of cost and benefits.